Baba Rakora sheets.
The last of the Rakora sheets.
Okay, a good Erev Shabbos. Let's learn. There's a Jason Gay. Knowing from Jason Gay. Jason Gay is a sports columnist at the Wall Street Journal. You want me to do this?
Yeah, please.
Then get involved with this. I'm going
to
put it on a tissue box because that's what my Rebbe does. And Emunas Chachamim. Harini Mekasher Sa'atmi L'chola Tzadikim Amitim. And I'm going to put the telephone on the tissue box. Jason Gay is a columnist in the Wall Street Journal. He writes great, like very insightful stuff about sports. I'm not such a sports fan, but I'm a fan of insightful people who write about sports. When the spirit moves me. Anyways, Aaron Katz shared this with me. This fellow spoke at the University of Wisconsin-Madison commencement this year, and he was great. Very insightful, funny, self-deprecating, made a number of mentions to the fact that in his great moment returning to his university, speaking in front of everybody, his kids are playing on the iPad. Like, it was really resonated, really resonated. Anyways, he quoted a phenomenal study by a minister in California named Sohn. The story could end there, and it would be good enough just to say the name Sohn is Mamtik Dinim. But this minister, Lydia Sohn, did a study of what's it, nonagenarians? 90-year-olds. Of people who were in their 90s. She polled people who were between 90 and 96. Actually, the Gemara in Megillah does this and asks, "Bamehara yamim," like, how did you have a long life? What's the secret of your longevity? It's a question that, you know, I think about as life goes on. You get, you know, think a little bit more about mortality and how to keep this gig going in the world. Tarte mashma. Anyway, so this Lydia Sohn took a poll and did a study on these individuals between their 90s and their 90s, between 90 and 96, and interviewed them about happiness, like what their happiest time of life is. And you might think, I mean, what do you think? What do you think she came up with? What is the person's happiest time? Somebody in their 90s.
Right now.
Okay. You must have read Dr. Benji's book. If not, not too late to buy it. Living in the Presence. Right now is not the answer that most of them gave, although that's a beautiful answer. Say their kids were having nachas, right? Sitting back. They could retire after they paid off their mortgage. Almei menuchos. When the kids already got married, the kids made shidduchim, they don't have to wear a frock during the week anymore, or whatever their equivalent was. Or kids graduated college, and now they have, you know, children who are doctors, or whatever their goal was, and they don't have to pay those college bills. And we think, like, retirement, you know, higati, I made it. It's not what they said. You might think, looking around at these kids here on the Ziyarche Kala, that they might have said that the best times of life were when they were in their teens, when they're single, ordering, you know, whatever, Nino's Pizza at 3 o'clock in the morning over here, or whatever was going on in the hallway last night. Or, you know, that time of life where, you know, they're in college, or they're gap year in yeshiva, when they had no worries and, you know, no bills and everything was hunky-dory. But they didn't say that either. The research that this Lydia Sohn came up with that was mentioned in Jason Gay's column and commencement address was in the middle. They remembered the time of life when they, you know, were just starting out trying to find what they were going to do and be in the world, trying to hustle and land a job and clarify a professional track and a personal track, and you know, who they're going to marry, you know, the world of the unknown, the world of the uncertain, and then the early years of marriage and hustling and paying bills and trying to figure out and unsure how it's all going to work. In other words, the happiest part of their life was the middle part of life, which was the most challenging part. When life is craziest, when life is messiest, when life is filled with ups and downs and uncertainties, when things are imbalanced, the way Steinsaltz likes to paint the picture of when a person's on a ladder going from rung to rung, that's when things are most unstable. Movement, growth, when we're going, stepping in any direction, is when you know you're off kilter, when you could fall. But looking back on their lives, that was the most meaningful time. When things are chaotic. Now, that's where we find ourselves in Sedra this week. If you take a look here on these beautiful glossy sheets, thank you to Oreos and to Nabisco and all the big companies that use the OU Hashgacha. Thank you to Oreos for dairy equipment. And also thank you to all of them for having the Orthodox Union Hashgachas that we've used. It's very nice, colorful, glossy, high-quality paper copies. Kvod Shamayim, Kiddush Hashem. Osios Machkimos. One bite, everyone knows the rules. Take a look inside. After it becomes clear that Yosef is in Mitzrayim, or it becomes clear, rather, excuse me, that that they have to go down to Mitzrayim, that the next step of the Brit Ben Abatarim is now unfolding, that there's a Rav in Eretz Canaan, and the Jewish people, the family of Yaakov Avinu, have to go down. Hashem appears to Yisrael, to our forefather, B'maros Halayla. Now, B'marot Halayla, at night, and it's a beautiful narrative here, it's a beautiful description. B'marot Lailo, the night vision. Yaakov Avinu has had many visions and many dreams and many opportunities that God appeared to him. Here, B'marot Laila, the Netziv explains and implies a real darkness in his soul, a time of real heaviness. Night also implies
Hester Panim,
darkness, concealment, can't see where we're going, an unknown. Yaakov is at the cusp of an unknown, uncertain future. What's going to be with his family? What's going to be with himself? Last time he had a dream, he was running away from Esav, and he saw Malachim Olim V'yordim, Elios, and you read those bow. He saw his life, he saw the chaos and the uncertainty of not knowing what he's going to do for a Parnasa, not knowing who he's going to marry, not knowing how he's going to continue his father and grandfather's legacy. He was away from home. Now, he raised a family. Things were not so simple. The family portrait, you know, not a Norman Rockwell scene. His son is missing still. He's never consoled over that. There's an uncertainty now, like, even though the prophecy was given that they're going to go to Egypt, they're going to be a foreigner in a foreign land, and even though he kind of had that script, still, Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov, Vayomer Hineni, Hashem has to assure him and express love to him and say, you're not alone here. Vayomer Anochi Ha'el Elokei Avicha, remember, I told you this was going to happen. Right? I appeared to Avraham also, but Tardema Nafla al Avraham. I appeared to him in a night vision. I appeared to him in the covenant of the parts and said that this is going to take place, that there's going to be a period of alienation in your national history, and there's going to be a time of real exile. And that's happening now. You're looking out at the abyss at a time where I get it that you're afraid. But Al Tira Mer de Mitzrayim, Hashem validates Yaakov Avinu, says, don't be afraid. Ki l'goy gadol ha-simcha sham. Because there, it's going to happen. They're going to make it happen for you there. Goy gadol, you're going to become a great nation. There. That's where it's going to take place. Anochi, the name of God, Anochi, is a name that conjures up an image of. Where does God refer to himself as Anochi? Everything. What's that? Anochi Hashem Elokecha is the result of all these Anochis. Anochi El Beit El. God reveals himself at times of challenge and transition as Anochi. Also, there's a clarity. Right? Hashem is giving himself over, so to speak, through the name Anochi. Anochi Ha'el Elokei Avicha. And Anochi Eridimcha Mitzrayim. I'm going to go down with you, meaning me. Right? I'm going with you all the way. You're not going to be alone. There's not going to be some protective agent there, but it's me. V'anochi a'olcha gamalo. I'm going to go down with you, and I'm going to come back up with you. Validation, chizuk, and we're in this together. Says Reb Nosson. Nosson's Yahrzeit is next week. So already Shabbos by Mincha, I assume here. Someone will hold the Sefer Torah and awaken the merit and the consciousness that this coming week is Rabbi Natan's week. Muvan Besvarim, says Reb Nosson, Lukut HaLachos. Shebezeh HaPosek Murumaz Kol Sod Galut Yisrael. This pasuk, this assurance, or this interaction between Hashem and Yaakov Avinu, gives us an insight into the entirety, the secret of the exile of the Jewish soul. V'ikru Galus HaNefesh. We're not just talking about a national story. We're not just Neto. We're not just talking about, you know, Knesset Yisrael as a nation, but Ikruhu Golos HaNefesh. We're talking about the individual. Everything here that the Klal is going through, the Prat is going through. It's interesting how we're mentioned name by name a number of times over these couple parshios. The end of Vayichi, the beginning of Sefer Shmot, Eilah Shmot B'nai Yisrael. They're mentioned in the name. Those names are also mentioned in Vayigash, also mentioned in Vayichi. Very specific census and count of the 70 who are going down to Mitzrayim. In other words, there's a national story unfolding. There's a national narrative and covenant that's now being manifest. And the focus is on the individual story, on the personal experience. Ikru is Galus HaNefesh of every single one of us. This is what's called a spiritual reading of the Torah. Because that's what the Rebbe writes about it, the Mevash Sharim and the Hachshar HaSavreichim. That when we read Psukim in Torah, the goal here is not just to read about something that happened by Imam Haim, but we're reading about it Bazman Hazeh, and not just so we can write an op-ed on Times of Israel about how whatever is taking place in politics is the fulfillment of some prophecy. That's very nice, but what's happening in me? Meaning, how are these Psukim shining a light on my personal experience? That's called spiritual reading. All the ups and downs that we're experiencing. Shezeh ikr sod ha-galus va-gu'ula. My ups and my downs, my struggles. What I'm going through. That is the story of Galus Yisrael and Gulas Yisrael. Isaiah, Zechariah, Amos, Hinei Yamim Ba'im. All of that is true. All of that is real. All of that is actually taking place in the world. Filling stadiums, teaching Torah. Places where there was entertainment and sport now are filled with Torah. Yishai Ribo and Amir Dadon and the streets of Eretz HaKodesh being filled with a redemptive song. It's all true. Kibbutz Galiot, it's all true. And what's happening with me? When I look in the mirror in the morning, when I struggle, when I forget a mincha, when I'm dealing with my own nisyonos, the story of Galus and Geula playing itself out in my life, in my choices. That's the Chiddush of Reb Nosson. The Chiddush of Reb Nosson is interpreting all of the content that we interact with and turning it into points of contact. Not just ideas that are taking place out there, but it's actually a story that's unfolding in here. Shakol bebechinas anochi eired imcha mitzrayim av anochi aolcha gamalo. This is the story of my ups and my downs, that God is with me. Not just that God is with me. I believe that Hashem is with Yaakov Avinu. I could believe that. No, you believe that, no? I believe in the jibber jabber of a thousand souls. I could believe in the story of Knesset Yisrael, that God is with my forefathers and with my mothers, the mamas and tatas. I believe that everything that happened to Yaakov Avinu, Hashem was with him. But can I believe that Hashem is with me in my ups and downs? No. Well, listen, we're talking about a famine. We're talking about going down to reveal Yosef in Mitzrayim. We're in mid-story here. Like Yaakov, it's about to happen. The greatest moment of family, you know, tikkun and connectivity and healing is about to unfold. at this awesome Thanksgiving dinner in Mitzrayim in Parshas Vayigash. But know that with my own brother and sisters and my own parents, that same story in some bechinas taking place also. When I'm reading Vayigash and I'm reading about the Elias and Yeridos of Yaakov and his sons, it's not just about him, it's about me. It's not just about us as a nation, but it's about you and I and our personal stories. And the goal here is to awaken, in some sense, the sense of thinking about the homes that we aim to build and the relationships that we have with our siblings and our parents and the darkness, the Maros Laila that we face. Va'ikru is chazkus. The main thing is to strengthen ourselves. Shetzrichen l'tchazek ma'od ma'od betokef his gabros mevirus ha'yirida. In the midst of our yirida. Now yirida here, what does yirida mean, gentlemen? This is it's just us here. What's yirida mean? What do you hear yirida? What does that mean?
Downward spiral.
What's certain is that it's beyond Jacob going through Sharm el Sheikh or whatever, through the Straits of Tehran, you know, going down to Eilat, to Sinai or whatever, to Egypt. It's beyond that. We're not just talking about the geography of Jacob's descent.
The spiritual descent.
Fill it in our own minds, in our own hearts. Just fill in the Mad Libs here. Everyone in their own 3 a.m., you know, whatever, Nunzio's pizza order or whatever it may be. Whatever the big taco was over here last night. New. But Yerida doesn't just mean the idea of a Yerida, the notion, the concept of it. Like, yeah, after my Shana Bet, so, you know, I don't know, I stopped wearing a davening jacket. Or I cut off my payas when they were in the awkward stage. Or I don't know, everyone in their own place, in their own way. At Shnidme Kimat Chas V'Shalom Shadaikim Yishami Rachim Hashem Yisparach V'Yoshivi Karvo Olav Kilo Itosh Hashem Amo. What I'm also trying to say is, like, what I believe is understand, bless you. When Hashem is telling Yaakov Avinu, I'm going to go down with you, he's telling all of us, In our darkest, most humiliating moments of failure, of falling short of our goals, of disappointing ourselves, when we're all alone, and again, nacham all that happened, or when we fall prey to that, again, I didn't want, I prepared myself to not make that comment to my kid, or to not push back with my parents. I know it's predictable behavior. I know my mother's going to say this, and why do I have to respond? Or I know my father's going to be sensitive to this specific way of behavior, so, like, just don't do it. And again, I fell into the pach with that mistake. Or again, in my own personal service, again, I forgot, again, I didn't bench. Or again, I'm schwach with the follow-through, and I keep making these big commitments that I'm going to learn Daf Yomi, and I'm going to learn this, and I'm going to learn that, and I don't follow through, and I feel bad. And in that moment, in that Yerida, that's where Hashem is revealing Himself as Anochi. Im amarti mata ragli chazdecha Hashem yisadeini, as David HaMelech tells us. If my feet stumble, the chesed of Hashem is what's going to satiate me. And at the top of the paragraph there, from Eicha, even at the point where I feel like it's too far gone and it's too far fallen, Omar, avad nitzchi v'tochalti me'Hashem, that there's no hope of starting again. Zos ashiv el libi al kein ochil chazdei Hashem kilo samnu kilo chal racham. Daika there, after destruction, after I already slipped up and it broke and it's done. There in Mitzrayim, in the midst of darkness, that's where this Anochi is being revealed to us. And it's something which we might have heard 1,000 times. And we might have seen it on Meaningful Minute over and over and over again. We might have heard it in every single Rav Weinberger shir, and every single time Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson speaks, and every single time you open up a Gutnik Chumash, and every single time you open up something from Rabbeinu. And the reason why it's repeated over and over and over again is because we need to hear it over and over and over again. And if Yaakov Avinu needed to hear it again, after all that he went through, and all that Yaakov Avinu is going through, if Yaakov Avinu needs a little Yaakov Maros Laila, Al achas kama v'kama, how all of us need a little bit Yehuda Yehuda v'maros Laila. V'cheinu p'sukim rabim. It says, I know, it's p'sukim rabim. It's left and right. In Tehillim, it's left and right. In Tanakh, that Hashem is assuring us that He's with us, that He's going to be with us during our times of exile. But again and again and again, because we need to hear it. That's why Rabbi Nachman is saying, Od pam, Shadaikashi Yisrael hei metachlas hadachakus. That's where we're in the most difficult place, in the most narrow place, in the place where we're up against the wall. Vatzarachas v'shalom, as daika yesh sever v'tikva lishua gedola. When we find ourselves up against the wall, and when we have that moment of like doubting ourselves, and we say to Hashem, that's where Hashem is megala Himself as Anochi. V'cheinu v'pratius b'chol adam u'v'chol zman. This is for every man in every place, in every time. The human condition does not change. Oh, somebody once gave a Musar Shmuz about how the internet is the worst thing that ever happened, and that there's never been Nisyonos like this in the history of the world, and maybe so. V'cheinu v'pratius b'chol adam u'v'chol zman. If that's true, then we've never had Hashem's confidence in us. If there's never been such a challenge like this before. Because the human condition doesn't change. But the Yetzirah is not a new reality. Yetzirah has been around for a long time. It'll be around for a long time. And this is the way it ought to be, and this is the way it's supposed to be, and this is the way it's scripted. Is that there's a place called Mitzrayim, and it's called Erev HaSa'aretz. It's a place where there's challenges to our identity, challenges to our sexuality. It's an old story. It's Yosef, Tzadik, and Potiphar. These are not new stories. The reason why we read these parashios over and over and over again, the reason why we go through this every single year over and over again, there's a reason why David HaMelech is hitting the pot over and over again, the reason why Rabbi Nachman is saying it over and over again, and the reason why Weinberger is getting texts over and over again, is because this is our story. And the Gemara Bracha says that we need constant reminders and constant chizuk. Human condition does not change. It remains human. B'chol Adam u'v'chol Zman. Variables change. There's different iterations. But this is who we are. Now, why is it that Yaakov Avinu sends down Yehuda to go get things set up? Now, Yaakov knows that he's going down to Egypt. He has Hashem's promise. He's going to be with him. Okay, so now what's the move? He's going down. Yosef reveals himself. Right, we have this, you know, next stage of the prophecy is now clear that it's being revealed, because Yosef's there, so now we understand, like the Ramban says, Hagzeira Emes, Charitzos Sheker. We understand now everything that Hashem did is for the best, because now I see it unfolding before my eyes. Right, the next stage of the narrative has now been revealed. Wow, we have that aha moment that the usual suspects, boom, it all makes sense now. All the clues were all pointing, everything was there out, open in front of our eyes, just now it's been revealed. And Yaakov sends Yehuda, Lahoros Lafan of Goshna, to go set up, Rashi says, a Beis HaTalmud, to go set up a place of Hora'a. Lefnot Nol Makom, Rashi says. Why Yehuda? He has protectia, no? I mean, Yosef is there. Yosef is the ultimate protectia. He's the number two. He's got the keys to all the silos, all the food. He's got the nuclear codes. He has total access to Paro. He's called Ish Matzliach. Yosef's his guy, and he gave him the Technicolor dream coat. Yosef is the one Yaakov Avinu put his chips down on. Avram to Yitzchak to Yaakov, very clear that it's going to Yosef. He's got his own night on Sukkot. He's got two nights. If you count the Litvishers and the Chassidim, he's got two nights. Yosef is his chronological night, and he's got the sixth night. It's like Yosef is the guy. He's got good hair. He's got a great jacket. No? And they have this like amazing language and communication of like, you know, they look with the agalot, he knows what sugya, they remember what sugya they were learning, like with Derech Remez. How hard would it have been for Yaakov Avinu to get Yosef to get him a piece of real estate, to hook him up in the area, get him some shetachum, set up at least a caravan, mashu, something.
And he could have. It was his guy. Like we had, you know, we had, I don't know, 20 years ago, we had Ketzela in the government. Ketzela had you know, direct access to Sharon. He was getting papers signed before there were anything written on them. Next thing you know, Beit El, Yitzhar, we have the whole Shomron built up. Yaakov Avinu had Yosef. He couldn't just ask his son, you know, take care of us, set us up a little spot there. We need a little, we need a Moadon. Why Yehuda? Why is it that he's sending down Vayishlach Yehuda Lefanav, Lahoros? What do we say? So, Yehuda has some experience. Yehuda's been through it. Just a reminder of Yehuda's LinkedIn, friends. The signet ring, the cloak, the daughter-in-law at the crossroads, the Adulamite, Vayered Yehuda. Yehuda got mixed up in some real embarrassing stuff. Yehuda also was the one who, like, I mean, he was the brother who had the opportunity, who had the ability to, like, prevent this whole Yosef tragedy from spinning out of control. He had their ear. I mean, he could have been the one to say, guys, let's not get carried away over here. Let's rough him up a little bit, you know, we'll throw high and tight. We'll send the message, but like, what, throw him in the pit? Like, come on. They would have listened to him. Yehuda just is the one who fumbles the ball on the 1 yard line. He fumbles it on the goal line every time. He's the one with no time on the clock, misses the foul shot. I mean, he misses the layup. Over and over and over again. Yehuda is the one who struggles. He's the one who just blows it. Over and over and over again. And yet he's the one who knows how to handle it. He owns it. Tzadkami meni. He stares struggle and failure in the eye. Bali lit balbel. My bad. You're playing ball with somebody. The ball goes off their leg. And they say, oh, you know, and they point fingers at everybody else. No one wants to play with that person. Play a ball with somebody who says, you know, my bad, or on me. They own it. That person's a man. That's why he's named Yehuda. He has the midah of being moda lames. His midah of standing up and owning things. Taking responsibility. That's real faith. Somebody knows that I made a mistake. I did something wrong. I made a misstep. And I'm owning it. Because that's part of the story of what it means to be a human being. The Pratius B'chol Adam of B'chol Zman. It's what it means to be a Yid. Vesalvechik pointed out, we're not called Josephites. Josephites would be, you know, well-dressed, good-looking, successful people. Who wouldn't want to be called after Yosef? Yosef Hatzadik. Fingers in the ground, you know, the whole thing with Eishes Potifar. It's quite a story, but we're called Yehudim. That's not us. We have the Koach HaTzadik that we connect to and that we draw from and that we reflect. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda and Yosef are two parts of, you know, two sides of the same coin. It's Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef. I mean, that's the ultimate expression of us. That's us in our ultimate form. That's us when we're redeemed. When we go down to Mitzrayim, though, Yaakov Avinu says, I can pick up the phone and ask a call and a favor here from Yosef, and he probably can get building permits for a really, really, really nice piece of land and an extraordinary Beis Medrash, but I need Yehuda to go down here, Lefnot Makom. I need Yehuda to make some space down there because we're going with that. Because he's got the battle plans. Because he's got the scars. He's been through it. He got knocked down, he got up, he got knocked down, he got up. Yehuda is the one who misses the shot and still wants the ball because he says, "The coach, come on, coach, believe in me. I believe in myself." V'chol adam v'chol zman. That's what it means to be a Yid. That's why we're called Yehudim. Because we recognize that failure and that struggle makes us who we are. And that Hashem believes in us continuously, that Hashem is with us. Who more than Yehuda is the one who can be
the foundation on which this Beis Medrash, this place of hora'ah, of instruction. How are we going to make it in Goshen? How are we going to live there? How are we going to exist? Isn't it Yaakov Avinu was afraid of? How am I going to transmit Jewish values? How are my children going to have their identity? How are we going to make it in exile? How is this going to be? Not with Yosef. Not with the model of Yosef. The model of landing on our feet every time. That's not the model of it. It's Yehuda. Now, Yehuda stands before Yosef and reveals himself. And it's clear that this incredible drama is really a mashal for something that takes place, or that will take place between us and Hashem, and the Yom HaDin. We don't have to wait till we're dead to have that that family reunion. We don't have to wait till we're dead to have that moment of truth with God. We can have it by being open with Hashem and being open with the people around us. It's a little bit easier to do it with Hashem, but if we do it with God, then maybe we'll be able to do it with each other. And Yosef and Yehuda have this incredible moment. And Yosef, the tzaddik, is instructing Yehuda, the Jew, the Yid, the one who is ashamed and but not broken over his struggle and over his missteps and over what happened with them. The next page, Yosef says to Yehuda and to his brothers, Ve'ata, with an ayin, and now, Al te'atzvu. Don't be broken. Don't be sad. Don't be sad. The Ani Yosef moment where like it all becomes clear this how deep this mess up really was, of like how this all happened. Yosef says, no, don't worry. Hashem had a plan. Everything happens for a reason. He's mechazek. He forgives. Says, okay, don't worry, guys. Listen, what happened? Water under the bridge. Ve'ata, and now al te'atzvu. Val yichar be'nechem. Don't hate yourselves. Don't burn yourselves up. Don't be broke. Like, don't, slow down. It's not all for fallen. Ki machartem oti. Like he says it straight. Machartem oti. You sold me. Like, let's not. Photoshop this. Like, let's not kind of like make this nice. You sold me out. You screwed me. You threw me into a pit to die. Macharta moti neki lemilchias shalachani elokim lefalechem. But Hashem had a plan, and you were the unknowing or unwitting participants in God's plan. And hey, now I'm running the show here, and now you're coming to me. And like, let's move through this. And let's move on together. A beautiful moment of magnanimous forgiveness, of bigness. Says the Tiferet Shlomo from Radomsk. Everyone knows who the Radomsker was? Yeah? Good, I would like to tell you. I'd be very happy to tell you. What? So, he was a Talmud of Reb Meir of Apta, who was a Talmud of the Chozer. And he was a contemporary. He died the same month as the Tzemach Tzedek and the Chiddush Arim. Just to give you historical context. Okay, like it just kind of puts these guys in context. 1866. But he saw himself as a Talmud of the Rebbe Melech, interestingly. Even though he never met Rebbe Melech. You could have a Rebbe who you never met. Dead tzaddikim are, I mean, I don't know. It's good to it's great to have a Rebbe who's dead. It's good to have a Rebbe who's a tzaddik chai. That's one in a million. That's an otzer matnas chinam. That's if you hit the jackpot. That's if we're lucky. But a Rebbe you should have a guide, a therapist, a mentor, all good. A mashpia, whatever. Fill in the blank. However it's called is good. A head counselor, but tzaddikim, you know. As I like to tell my older daughters, tzaddikim don't let you down when they're dead too much, you know? They can't disappoint. And they're really more alive when they're dead anyway. Anyways, I hope that somebody will ask me when I'm 96, Bameha Rachta Yamim. Please say amen. The Radomsker's Rebbe was Reb Melech, who died a decade plus before he was even born. But he would go to Lezhensk on the yard site. I imagine that there was even a better Hachnasas Orchim food matzav 200 years ago or 150 years ago in Lezhensk on the Yahrzeit than there was at the Siyam HaShas this past week. Not saying bad, it was a great event. Nothing to eat, no? That's the story, right?
$750.
Forget it. I don't know. Everyone's saying this is the biggest, you know, event since Matan Torah, but Lag BaOmer is pretty awesome every year. It's, you know, I'm not saying everybody's learning Torah on Lag BaOmer. No one's learning. I mean, I don't know. I'm not learning Torah on Lag BaOmer, but it's a great time. But let's get back to Radomsk. Yeah, Shlomo Radomsker was a Talmud of the Rebbe Melech. No, I never met him. That's worthwhile to come here just to say that. It's clear that he was not bound by time and place, and it's clear that he also was a student of Rabbi Dr. Benji Epstein, who spells his name with an ayin, ve'ata al te'atzvu, and read Living in the Presence. Because the Radomsker says as follows, hinei ve'ata hu lashon tshuva, and now is a language which awakens tshuva. Ve'ata, now. Now means tshuva. Yosef is not letting them off the hook. He said, you guys sold me out. You guys screwed me. You guys threw me in a pit. You got to do tshuva. You break it, you break it, you bought it. You want to dance, you got to pay the fiddler. You have to do tshuva. The good news is that like tshuva is not hard. Tshuva is a process. Tshuva is like, you know, you have a knife that's a milchiger knife that you cut. Use an onion that had been cut by a fleshik knife that was cold on a hot... You know, see, what do? You learn the laws, and there's a way to fix it. There's a way to change the situation. There's a way to move out of it. There's a way to go through it. It's called tshuva. You return back to a kosher status. Right? There's a way to fix things. We have a Hilchos Tshuva in the Rambam, which we'll learn in a minute. There's a process. So, you know, Yosef says to them, guys, you got to do tshuva. You have to do tshuva, lashuva tshuva, la maisa, asher asitem. You, maisa hazeh, asher asitem. You have to fix what you did wrong. Ach al te'atzvu, like, don't really be upset about it. Don't get all riled up about it. You don't have to be depressed or down or broken or sad about it. Like, it's okay. Like things happen between people. Right? We make mistakes. We fall short of our goals. We have good intentions, and then things sometimes don't go that way. Right? Then they bring out, you know, Kugel here at 11:30 at night. You have good intentions, and next thing you know, Ben and Jerry's comes out with a whole parva line of ice cream. All right. Like, we try, and then we make mistakes along the way. We do things that are reprehensible. We do things that are horrible. We do things that are... Well, I've never thrown my brother into a pit. Maybe the bechina of a pit. With snakes and scorpions. But I've never actually done it. Right? Like, maybe the bechina of a veiled woman, you know, on a crossroads. But not actually. And even if actually, not my daughter-in-law. I have a daughter-in-law. I hope that, you know, I'll be older by that time. But like, anyways, God forbid, right? Maybe a website about it, but not it. So just do tshuva, Yosef says. Al te'atzvu, lo ba'atzvus u'darchei atshuva, because tshuva doesn't work with atzvus. That's not the way it goes. That's not its inner working. That's not the ingredients that bake that cake. Lo ba'atzvus u'darchei atshuva, ki atshuva hu mitzvas aseh min haTorah, and you have to eat matzah besimcha, and you put on tefillin besimcha, and Shabbos we celebrate with joy. We fulfill mitzvos with gladness, with happiness, with our full self. We try to bring our best self to this mitzvah. And whatever it is that you're selling to these kids from public school that are here for this Yarchai Kala, believe in that. Believe in the picture that you're painting for them. You have to do tshuva b'simcha. Like we say in davening, from David HaMelech, Ivdu as Hashem, b'simcha, that includes tshuva as well. Kach, the Radomsker says, v'ata humilashon tshuva. Habal tshuva tzarech lomar me'ata, from now on. Hinei nishav. Again, and again. To start again, and again, and again. He said to live in the presence. Means to live in the present. That's the greatest gift Hashem is giving us. I'm say it in these words, Hashem, I'm starting again now. Hitting the refresh button again now. I'm not going to go down that. Even though I have plans already for Saturday night. Right now, I'm starting again. Rak ata. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Mehayom v'hala. Thank God I have the ability now to start again. So let's learn the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. You have to learn, right? We have to know. There's a system. There's a program. We have it charted out. Hareini Hashem Darkecha. The Rambam here in Parakei of the Rambam. David HaMelech said, Hareini Hashem Darkecha. Show me your ways. And the Rambam, you know, from Moses to Moses, there was no one like Sandy Koufax. No, there was no one like the Rambam. The Rambam lays it out over here. Hareini Hashem Darkecha. Tov v'yashar Hashem. The Pasuk in Tehillim says that God is good and straight. Alkein yoreh chatoyim baderech. Therefore, God will show chatoyim. What's chatoyim mean? So, Rabbi Freifeld, Shlomo Freifeld said, oh, I like it that the techno started in the background. Does that mean that the shir should end? No. No, it means that the people learning Torah over here, and there's a rave going on over there, and it'd be great if there were some people eating over there, and people sleeping over there, and somebody davening over here. This is the ultimate form of Beis Medrash. Yalla. Yalla latachat. Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld said that this Rambam, that this insight from the Rambam, revolutionized the entire concept of what it means to be a human being and what it means to be a Jew. Tov v'yashar Hashem al kein yorech atoyim baderech. That God is straight and gives guidance to chatoyim baderech. Chatoyim here does not mean sinners. Chatoyim means those who have missed the mark. It's someone who had a chance to do the right thing and failed, who blew their shot. The story of Yehuda. Mitzvah, Rabbi Freifeld explains, is a success. The chait is a failure. It's where we missed the mark. So how does somebody who did a chait, somebody who was a chote, how does that person go on the path of Yashrus? Says the Rambam, Zeh sheshalach neviim lahem, modiim darki Hashem machzir nosam b'tshuva. God sent a bunch of good advisors and educators to be on Yarchei Kala, to help people, to show them the way toward to return, to be healthy, to get things together. God sent us prophets. God sent us tzaddikim, who show us the way. Here's how you do tshuva. Hashem gave us tzaddikim and neviim to show us how to get back to the good path. And God gave us the ability to learn and to understand, to fix. And if we believe that we can break, believe that we can fix. God gave us mitzvahs and averos. God gave us the opportunity, the ability to mess something up, to fall short. Great news. God gave us the ability to then fix that and to return to the straight path. Nasun ben koch, lo mod al havin. Shemid is a b'chol adam. Shekol zman shu nimch shimshach b'darach ha'chachma v'atzedek mis'avin l'verodei v'osam. And when anybody desires to straighten things out, to rectify, to fix. Vayigash elav Yehuda. When a Yid wants to draw close, when a Jew wants to come close to their brother, to their friend, to rectify, to fix a relationship, or to Hashem, to get things straight, to get things back on the right path. It's what Chazal say, Balatayr Messiahinoso. Someone who comes, who approaches, Vayigash, someone who comes, who tries to come close to Tahara, Hashem will help. Klomar, Yimtza Atzmo Nezar al Adavar. We will find ourselves helped. By whom? By Hashem himself. Habal Atayr Messiahim. Doesn't just mean the Chachamim, the Nevi'im, the Tzadikim, the Rabbanim, the advisors, the educators, the regional directors, and all the experts in outreach and Jewish education who are here to guide these youngsters to the path of truth. But it means that when a Jew wants to draw close, Nimtza Atzmo Nezar al Adavar means that Hashem helps. V'anochi eiredim chametzrayim v'anochi aolcha gamalo. Yeah, you'll have Yehuda, Beis Medrash, that's set up with people who can help guide and journey together. But Hashem says, I'm with you. You'll learn from Yehuda, you'll have the koach hatzadik, But Hashem says, I'm with you. Just turn to me. Vayigash Elav Yehuda, a Yid can turn to Hashem during the most chaotic times, during the most uncertain times, during the most challenging times, during the most painful and embarrassing times. Tzad kami meni. Just be honest with Hashem. Turn to Hashem. Hashem says, I'm with you. Yes, the tzaddikim. Yes, the rabbanim, the chachamim, the neviim that show us the derech hatova yashar. But the chiddush of the Rambam here is really no chiddush at all. The chiddush is what Hashem tells Yaakov Avinu. I'm with you here all along. I'm with you in the ups. I'm with you in the downs. V'nimtza atzmo nezer al adavar. We'll find ourselves helped. We'll find ourselves helped. Hashem should help us all. We believe in this. L'chaim. Go have fun. Remix. Long Branch. Drake went to NC as well. Good to have Shabbos, everybody.
I saw a piece in the Morgan Ayo.